The destination of this coach is Hazard, Kentucky. We're due there at 5:15. For your convenience, there's a restroom located in the rear of the coach.
You gonna get sick? Huh? Oh my God! He's coming at you!
All right. When it comes to 2-year-old Olivia James, you are not the father.
You've irritated the tool gods. You must now be smeared with the holy grease of disdain.
Brought to you by WorldWrestlingInsanity.com. It's JG's Radio Free Insanity with your host, James Gutman. Yo, Gutman, what's the ish?
What is up, kids? How are you? This is James Gutman. And did you miss me? Yes, that's right. This is your first Radio Free Insanity of 2006. If the time is right, you should be listening to this on Friday, the 13th, 2006. And yeah, guys, we got a hell of a show lined up today. Joining us in the second part of this audio is going to be Kamala, the Ugandan Headhunter, the Ugandan Giant. I'm going to be right here on Radio Free Insanity. You guys might know Kamala was one of the wrestlers who participated in the book World Wrestling Insanity, the Decline and Fall of a Family Empire. Jim Harris is his real name, and he really is. He's a great guy. And it's funny, because prior to interviewing him for the book, I had never really heard too much of him outside of character. I mean, I saw there was a shoot DVD that I actually have that I saw, and I remember that bugged me out, but very different than what you would expect. I mean, he wasn't munching on any chickens on the phone, I guess, at least to the best of my knowledge, or live chickens, even, if you will. But yeah, I mean, you know, good guy, has a lot to say, a lot of very different opinions than most, and really his career has spanned years upon years. I mean, it was just a Taboo Tuesday last month. He's participated with the Divas. He was at the Gimmick Battle Royal. So yeah, Jim Harris has had a long career and has a lot to say, so we're really excited to have him on. I've wanted to have him on since the day we started doing the audio, so it's really good that we got a chance to have him on this week, and there's plenty of other people lined up to be on the next few weeks, but very happy to have Kamala on the show, so that ought to be mad cool. Let me give you guys a few plugs for the site, too, just as long as I have you right off the bat. Things while I was away were handled terrifically by Mallory Molly, and I want to thank her for that. Mallory did a kick-ass job of keeping everything on the site going very smoothly. It was good. It was the kind of thing where I was able to take time away, and there was no worries. But even in my absence, the writers just did amazing work, too. Eugene Sandow, Mike Rickard, continuing to do terrific articles over in their section. If you get a chance to check that out, evolving from the days when they had to be stuck with Uncle Ralph, kind of a hazing process, crazy Uncle Ralph. Going to be checking in with some more stuff hopefully soon. Hopefully should be having some more of his quick reviews of shows once they're over. So that is awesome as well. And lots of other things. David Embry, if you guys haven't checked him out either, he's doing the Bite This reports, and David is just a real dry wit to him. It's good to have him on, too, especially for a show with Todd Grisham saying some crazy, crazy stuff. It's always good to have somebody who has that kind of sense of humor that they can kind of look at it with kind of a funny eye to it. So David has been doing tremendous work, too, with the Bite This reports. I mean, really, guys, so many people to mention. These are just people outside of the regular columnists that we talk about a lot. But, yeah, we have a lot of great people working on the site. Mike Niccolo, I mean, really, you just run down top to bottom. I've been very happy with the work that we've been producing right here on WorldWrestlingInsanity.com, and hopefully you are, too. We've been getting a lot of positive feedback, and I want to thank you guys for that. No need to do a major shakeup over at our website. And why do I bring this up? Well, because World Wrestling Entertainment did a major shakeup this last week. And how is that for a segue? Thank you. All right, point blank, guys, if you're listening to this on the day that it came out, this audio is supposed to come out on Friday. So if you're listening to this on the day it came out and you have somehow managed to avoid SmackDown spoilers up until now, then really turn this off and listen to it tomorrow. Okay, so I'll wait. Ready? okay. Now, for those of you guys who are still here, let's spoil SmackDown for you, because WWE.com already did. World Wrestling Entertainment this past week, major shifts on both shows. WWE Raw, for a few months, under the banner of John Cena, the Doctor of Thugonomics, the Prototype, the Manhunter, the Poopmeister, wearing that spinning title every week on Raw, and continuously his reactions from the fans are getting worse and worse and worse and worse as his promos are starting to get kind of worse and worse and worse at times. So John Cena has been running Raw, and over on SmackDown you've had Deacon Dave Batista running around with a world title around his waist, and despite all the times where we thought they were going to pull it off of him, has managed to hold on to it through injuries and through all this craziness. So within 1 week, WWE did it. Two major shifts. Over at New Year's Revolution, a pay-per-view that, you know, usually we'll say, well, that was a one-match show. Well, New Year's Revolution was kind of a half-a-match show because the only real saving grace was the big finale, which was between, at least in my opinion, between Edge and John Cena. Following the Elimination Chamber, Cena was all bloody, half-dead on the mat. So Vince McMahon came out, and Cena had won the match, and he ordered Edge to come out because Edge had used his Money in the Bank stipulation that he won at WrestleMania to get a title match any time he wanted. So he came out right at the end of the Elimination Chamber, and, well, he beat the Doctor of Thugonomics. Done. I thought it was a great angle. The reason why I thought it was a great angle, which is a little depressing in a way, is because it was the obvious angle, and it was something WWE has had in their back pocket for a while, and I'm glad that they finally did it. A lot of people have been calling for this for a while, and it's funny because a lot of people, you know, are saying, oh, you know, I've been saying for a while, let's put the title on Edge. I mean, this is the kind of thing where Edge has always had this option, and it doesn't take much to kind of put two and two together and figure that we're getting closer and closer to WrestleMania. He's going to run out of options soon. I think if they would have used it on some wayward Raw episode, if it would have been the kind of thing where they started Raw and said, you know, Edge is using his Money in the Bank thing, it kind of would have lost a lot of its meaning. I mean, the whole meaning was that he could use it anytime, any place. Why not use it when the champion is half dead in the ring? So that's what he did. I think Edge is a great choice for WWE to use as a champion. It is kind of surprising because it is in Triple H, and despite Triple H's promo on Monday where he promised, no, I guarantee you could put money on this at home, money on this. Thank you. That he was going to go to WrestleMania and win the title, but still, in the meanwhile, it's WWE putting the world title on a new heel, letting him do his thing a little bit. Kind of what they should have done with Randy Orton, only they're doing it with Edge, allowing him to be the character that he got over as and hold the world title. So I think that's cool, too. Some criticisms of Edge that you do hear a lot, and I do want to address these. A lot of people are saying, well, is it fair that Edge got this world title because, you know, he banged Matt Hardy's girlfriend? Well, I mean, I was on Brian Alvarez's Figure Four Daily audio show. For those of you guys who haven't checked it out, Brian Alvarez runs Figure Four Weekly, the newsletter and the site. A great guy. I was on his show last week now at this point, or earlier this week, I guess it would be, depending on when you're listening to this. And we talked about Edge, and talked a little bit about how people are criticizing the fact that his character is based on this immoral thing that he did with Matt Hardy's chickie. But here's the thing with Edge. The week that everything really came to a head with Matt Hardy, when Matt Hardy made his big return and he went to the ring and he, you know, Adam, I hope you get into a car accident, you know, and doing his kind of crazy, shaky, Matt Hardy crazy, shaky thing. And got really no reaction from the crowd. The following week, Edge came out and he delivered a money promo. And I mean a money promo. Adam Copeland, who some people could say was, you know, not much of a character to him, he didn't talk for the first, you know, year he was in WWE. He didn't say a damn word. He was a vampire hunter. Really went out there and showed that he could deliver a good promo. And I got news to you. It doesn't matter who he was screwing. If Adam Copeland came out the week after Matt Hardy and fell on his face in that promo, he wouldn't be world champion right now. So I think it's kind of unfair to say that it just happened because of Lita, because it wasn't. If he was a bad worker that had scrogged Lita, he wouldn't be world champion now. He's a good worker. He's a good talker. He's got a good character and a good gimmick. So the fact that he's with Lita, say if that maybe made up for maybe 20% of his character development, Yeah, that's great, but I mean, a lot of it has to be given to him. He deserves a pat on the back. He deserves respect for what he's done, and I'll give it to him. I think Adam Copeland is a great talent, and I'm glad to see him finally coming into his own and getting a chance to shine on top of the roster. So that's cool. Yeah, no animosity there. So way to go, Adam Copeland. Now, over on SmackDown, and this is the spoiler part, Dave Bautista is injured again, and this time they're like, Dave, just really go the fuck home, because he always wants to work through everything. You know, I'm okay, guys. I'm cool. And it's funny, because if you guys heard Tom Pritchard a few weeks ago on the audio when he was in OVW, he would have his wife call him in sick. So I guess maybe sometime between now and then he's kind of had this desire to continue working. Either that, or he's worried about losing his spot, as many people are in WWE, which I wonder why, considering that, you know, they cycle through people on top fairly quickly. Just ask John Bradshaw Layfield. Anyway, so Dave Bautista is out of the picture, and he has to lose the title. So WWE had Kurt Angle rush out during the Battle Royal, came out, he was the last entrant in this over-the-top Battle Royal, and win the world title of SmackDown. Now, it's a WWE title, it's the world heavyweight title, the big gold belt that Ric Flair used to wear and that Triple H used to sleep with at night. So Kurt Angle goes from being a top heel on Raw to apparently a big babyface on SmackDown. Still kind of unsure exactly how that's going to play out. We're operating on hearing things from certain people, but not really sure. With WWE, as we all know, from week to week, things can change. As of now, I can imagine that he will play the babyface. I could also imagine that Shawn Michaels, on Monday night's Raw, walked out of their tag match, gave him the finger. No, he didn't give him the finger. He doesn't do that. He waved goodbye to him, and he left in a very heel-like way. So I wouldn't be surprised to see some sort of, Angle as a babyface against Michaels as a heel, either at WrestleMania or leading into WrestleMania. Hopefully, Vince McMahon won't be involved. There's a ton of options they could do right now with Kurt Angle as a babyface world champion. The most interesting option, and something that I think would definitely be cool, would be a match between Michaels and Angle at WrestleMania for the world title with Vince McMahon as the referee. I think that would be cool. It would be a nice way to continue that whole Vince McMahon, Shawn Michaels thing. It would also be cool because it would be taking a feud and an angle, not only Angle-Michaels, but also McMahon Michaels, moving it from Raw over to SmackDown, and it would give kind of the two shows, the same kind of storyline, the same angles, the same participants, kind of making it a little more exciting. If you have a feud that is so big and so massive that it can't be held within the confines of one broadcast, that's pretty cool. So, yeah, I mean, that's something I would be interested in seeing. I hope they do something to that effect. We'll see what they do. All we know is that WWE within 1 week really went through a major, major overhaul with both Raw and SmackDown. Two unexpected title switches, and I think that's a good thing. If anything, I think that's a great thing. Just because WWE at this point is very low on moments where you go, whoa, I didn't see that coming. And twice in 1 week I went, whoa, didn't really see that coming. So that's pretty cool. And I'm very happy with the way things are going at this point. Now, where they take it from here is anybody's guess. I think the segment on Raw with Edge and Lita and Alive Sex, I think, was a little bit lowbrow, not really needed on the broadcast, but so it goes. Hopefully they can ride this out and make it work. So, yeah, there you go. That's WWE's week. Also, real quick, for those of you guys who haven't heard yet, Stephanie McMahon is knocked up. So just want to get that out of the way, too. So congratulations from everybody here at World Wrestling Insanity to the Levesque family, expecting their first child. And I don't know what more to say about that, guys. I mean, a lot of people, I mean, it's a story, but I don't know how much of a story it could be. You know, I mean, a lot of people are talking about it, and it kind of seems weird not to mention it, but by the same token, I mean, she's pregnant. Yeah, there you go. So, all right, let's move forward. And let's talk about what you guys voted. That's right. It's 2006's first moment of insanity. And what was it? I mean, there were so many things this week that it could possibly be. So the real question is, what did you guys vote for? What did it end up being? Where are we going from here? Well, without further ado, cue it up, people. It's this week's moment of insanity.
All right, JR. Time for your colon surgery, and everyone on that, Dr. Heine. I want you to meet Nurse Rocker Knockers.
Fear is only a four-letter word.
The world
As voted by you, the readers of WorldWrestlingInsanity.com, it's this week's Moment of Insanity.
Hey, what happened?
Sometimes you have to show a little skin. This reminds guys of being naked, and then they think of sex.
I'm gonna go home. Have some sex.
Well, there you have it, folks. Yeah, in case you couldn't figure out what it was, because there's been so many crazy things this week. This week's Moment of Insanity was the celebration of live sex on Monday Night Raw between Lita and Edge to celebrate his WWE title win. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you not hear me right? I said they had live sex on Monday Night Raw. I mean, yeah. And it wasn't sex, obviously, just because they're not going to really go out there and have hardcore sex in the middle of the ring. I think a lot of us knew that. But WWE pushed the envelope as far as they could possibly push it, and even pushed it a little bit too far to the point where it was censored in the United States because Amy Dumas' big bag of saline fell out from under the blanket. So, yeah, live sex, Monday Night Raw, and just blows me away, this kind of stuff. I don't even know where to begin when talking about this. Look, Edge's gimmick is that he banged Lita, all right? Matt Hardy was dating her. Edge was traveling with her. Matt Hardy was at home, you know, on the internet or whatnot. And Adam and Amy got a little close, started doing the boom-boom dance. And that's great, and that's terrific, and that's fine, so that's kind of his gimmick. So what did WWE do? They said, well, night one of his championship reign, we have to do something so over the top that people remember it. Let's have him and Lita come out with a big bed and have live sex in the ring. And everybody knew it was going to be a swerve. I mean, obviously, you know it's going to be a swerve. And that's the thing with angles like this. They kind of get to me as a fan. And really, if I wasn't reviewing Raw, if it wasn't my first Raw back, I really don't know if I would have went out of my way to see the live sex show on Raw. And people never really understood what I meant when I said, well, it's obviously going to be a swerve. I got an email from somebody asking me and said, you know, I mean, it is obviously a swerve. They're not going to have sex on TV. People knew that. And I think that's the problem. If you know it's not going to happen, what's the point? You know what I mean? I knew before the show went on, I knew there was going to be some sort of weird way out of it and some sort of hokey non-finish, if you will, to the sex act. You're not going to see sex on the USA Network. And if they do actually have sex in the ring, they're not going to show it anyway, so you're not going to see it. So heading into it, you knew it wasn't going to happen. And that's a problem. And WWE now is touting the rating that they got off of this live sex display that never really reached a climax, on Raw. Now, that's something WCW used to do. WCW used to promise a big match between two guys, and then it wouldn't happen. And then they would tout the fact that they got this huge rating for it. It's like, well, if your fans are tuning in for something you promised, and then it doesn't happen, it kind of turns them off on it. But even worse with the live sex show is that the fans tuned in knowing it wasn't going to happen. And people can turn around and say, yeah, but they still tuned in. You know, they knew it wasn't going to happen, and they tuned in. Yeah, they tuned in because it was Edge's first night as champion. And I think people were going to tune in no matter what. They wanted to see what was going to happen. I think the live sex display really just pandered to it, to a strange kind of audience. I mean, it wasn't the worst segment in the history of wrestling. It was definitely one of the weirdest segments in the history of wrestling, just because many people expected it to end a lot sooner than it did. It got pretty out of hand. You know, Edge in his little underpants. Really, I don't think that was such a good idea, actually, for him to be in those because, well, yeah, for a number of reasons. But so Edge is now in his little underpants. Lita is in her garter and her bra, and they happen to unhook her garter without, you know, unhooking it. He couldn't get the bra off. I mean, it was silliness. She's holding her bra on and get under the covers. They went down under the covers and came out with each other's underwear, and it was really just staged, kind of peculiar. Yeah, I mean, it kind of ended with John Cena FUing Lita in the middle of the ring. It's a finishing move. I wasn't using slang. So it really seemed like the whole point of the final segment was to get to this angle with John Cena and Edge to further sell their match at the Royal Rumble. And as somebody pointed out to me in another email that I got, was what was the point? The entire point of the show was to get to this live sex thing. And the finish of this, the end of this whole segment, this long, drawn-out, having sex on cable TV segment, was done just to simply promote a match that we already knew about. There was no big, shocking ending. And following the night before, where there was a big, shocking ending, and they got such a great result from it, makes you wonder why they didn't just do it again. Why the following night wasn't kind of a better broadcast with a better ending than they had given the fans. So I think that it was a big miscalculation. If you're going to have a big stunt, okay, in wrestling, you have to make sure the fans leave liking what they get from it. And perfect examples I'll give you guys of this. The wedding between Billy and Chuck. Okay, for those of you who remember, Billy and Chuck, Billy Gunn, Chuck Palumbo were a gay tag team. Or not really gay, but they were supposedly gay. That was their gimmick. And they were going to have a same-sex union on SmackDown. And we're watching, and you knew it was going to be a stunt. You knew they weren't going to get married. They weren't going to kill both their careers by making them, you know, a married gay couple. Although, in hindsight, maybe it would have worked a little bit, but they didn't do it. There was going to be a swerve to it. And you kind of tuned in knowing there was going to be a swerve, much like the Lita Edge live sex segment. Okay, so you tuned in, you knew it was going to be a swerve. You watched it. The climax and the finish of this wedding, I thought was great. It was the preacher, who the whole time was a strange guy, tore off the latex mask, and it was Eric Bischoff who called out 3-minute warning to beat the two of them down. And I remember thinking with that segment, it was stupid. You know, it was obviously a swerve from the beginning, but it had a great ending. And there was a reason to watch it, because in the end, you know, Eric Bischoff got one over on SmackDown. He was hiding in the ring the whole time. You didn't know it was him. I thought it was really cool. Flip side to that, Dawn Marie's wedding to Al Wilson. Again, another one of those tune-in type of, you know, they'll get married, we'll see what happens. Well, you knew it wasn't going to be, I mean, you expected something at this point. If you're going to tune in the whole show to see a wedding, if you're tuning into a wrestling show to see a non-wrestling event, you want something big to happen during that event. When Al Wilson, Tori's dad, married Dawn Marie, nothing happened. The two of them got naked in the ring. She was in her underwear, and he was in his underwear, and they got married in their underwear. And that was the selling point. And to me, that was on par with this Edge and Lita thing. There was really no big thing that came out of it in the end. In the end, all it really was WWE selling a match we already knew about, but taking 10 to 15 minutes at the end of their broadcast with a shock segment, that really didn't need to be there. And that was the problem. My problem has never been with live sex or with the necrophilia or with any of these crazy, stupid angles if they have a point. In wrestling, if something has a real point and could really become a memorable moment, you could pretty much go anywhere. It's not a matter of being offended. I don't think people were offended by the live sex on Monday. I wasn't offended by it. I was bored by it. You know, I mean, it's 2006, okay? 8-year-olds can get porn online. When I was a kid, and when a lot of other people around my age were kids, the way you would get the dirty shows and the dirty movies you'd watch, the Playboy Channel, Scrambled, okay? Or you'd go to that one deli where the guy didn't give a shit and would sell the magazines to anybody. But it really wasn't readily accessible. So maybe if this was 1992, and WWE was putting on a live sex show on their show, people would be interested in it. But again, it's 2006. We have the internet. We have really, like, the things that they show on TV now at this point are pretty over the top as it is. So it's not really a matter of anybody being offended by the live sex. It's a matter of the live sex having no point. And that's something that World Wrestling Entertainment really needs to work on. And when you do something as poignant and as meaningful as giving the world title to a brand new guy, WWE title, to a brand new guy like Edge, who has never held the title before, when I say brand new, that's what I mean, has never held the WWE title before, you shouldn't do something pointless the next night with him. And I was kind of let down by that. And that was my feelings on the live sex segment. I know a lot of people, you know, have their own views on it and have their own reasons for not liking it. But in my personal opinion, I think the main problem with the segment was that following such a meaningful situation, a New Year's Revolution, WWE then presented a meaningless follow-up, and I thought that was a mistake. And I think anybody who knows about storytelling or even getting a character over knows that that was a mistake. So, I mean, that's just the way it goes. Yeah, I mean, everybody has a little bit of a take on it. Ramikun, who actually said something that really I thought was very funny, because it's something else that people have brought up now, and I have a graphic about it in the Raw Insanity on Monday. Matt Hardy. Remember Matt Hardy? The guy who lost his girlfriend to Edge. Well, when Matt Hardy came back, he told everybody that he was coming back. It was what was best for his career. You know, people were saying, but Matt, you're getting your ass kicked. You know, constantly. You're getting beat up all the time. And he goes, well, you know, check with me in about 6 months. Okay? Well, that was August. It's January now. Okay? So, there's maybe a month left. February will be the next time around for to check up on Matt Hardy's six-month promise. So, what's going on right now at 5 months in? Well, Edge is the world champion. Matt Hardy sucks. There's really no two ways about it. Matt Hardy sucks. He's really kind of at the same spot that he was at the last time around. I mean, it's just kind of a funny situation the way it works. So, Ramekin, who voted for Amy Dumas' boob being shown in the UK and edited in the US, said, let's also throw in Matt Hardy, whose return somehow spawned Edge's world title reign. I bet right now Matt is updating his blog and somehow is listening to Linkin Park while making the post, crawling in your skin, these wounds that never heal. So that was kind of funny. Yeah, Matt Hardy, you got to feel bad, I guess, in a way, but I think a lot of us were saying at the time that he should have went to TNA. TNA would have given him more of a chance than WWE has gotten him. And in the end, WWE didn't give him much of a chance, and it ended up being Edge and his ability to cut a good promo and to really come off as a credible heel that elevated him, while Matt Hardy's weaknesses really shine through. I know a lot of people are going to turn around and say, well, you know, well, that's Matt Hardy then. If he was in TNA, those weaknesses would have come out. Yeah, but I think TNA would have protected him as a character a bit more than WWE did. WWE gave the guy a live mic. They let him say crazy shit, and then he didn't get over. I don't think anybody in WWE was crying tears over the fact that Matt Hardy couldn't get over. And the day comes that Matt Hardy is released from WWE and goes back into the independent pool of wrestlers in the United States, his stock is going to be significantly lower than it was the first time around, especially now that his brother isn't going to shows anymore. Okay, 3SR8JR. I don't know, maybe I'm supposed to be reading that differently. Well, that's the guy's screen name. Says that Lita and Edge were able to take her panties off and put them back on without having time to unbuckle and buckle the garter belt back to the garters. You got to applaud them for that. So I definitely think that was cool. He did point it out. David Embry, we talked about earlier, said, wanted to know why Lita had a change of clothes in her bed with her and why John Cena got as excited as a 12-year-old boy when he saw her in these clothes, when he lifted up the comforter. So yeah, I mean, from top to bottom, this angle has so many different things that you looked at and you were like, what the hell is that about? So WWE really provided a almost comical, in a way, unintentionally comical type of segment that really kind of meandering. So there you have it, guys. This week's moment of insanity is WWE following up on Edge's impressive, amazing, poignant, and meaningful title victory at New Year's Revolution with an unneeded, ridiculously scripted, poorly put together, meaningless live sex segment the following night on Monday Night Raw. Now remember, voting begins now for the next moment of insanity. So get right now onto the message board. Start voting away for the moment of insanity. We want to hear your thoughts on everything. If you get a chance, go to the World Wrestling Insanity Forum and make your votes and your choices be known. It's good to be back for 2006. So do me a favor, guys. We're going to cut short now. We're going to head over to part two where you guys can listen to the mighty Ugandan giant, Kamala, talk a little bit about his career. So join me in part two. Don't go anywhere. Seriously, don't go anywhere. Come back. Part two. See you there.
Brought to you by WorldWrestlingInsanity.com.